from KQED.
Before we get to that small group of people, let's first meet Betty Croning. Croning owns Betty's Ocean View Diner in Berkeley. And in 2006, she got a letter in the mail that scared her. It said that labels on knee-high grape soda the diner sold contained small amounts of lead. The letter continued, because the diner had no warning sign, she was breaking the law under Prop 65 and in danger of being sued. She noticed a name on the letter.
I saw this name, Whitney Lehman, all over the place, and that this was a person involved all up and down California, what I felt, looking for opportunities to make some money.
Croning had stumbled into a small and little-known subculture of people who have a special relationship to Prop 65. They're called private enforcers. They send letters telling businesses they're in violation of Prop 65. By law, these private enforcers are then entitled to 25% of any penalty the business pays to the state. Attorney Cliff Chandler heads the Chandler Group, a Berkeley law firm that represents some of the most active private enforcers. He says Prop 65 is a big part of what they do.
It's been more than a majority of our firm's caseload.
He says the Betty's Diner incident was part of a larger and successful case against a national bottling company. And in the end, Betty didn't have to pay a fine.
We fight the good fight against people who have a lot of resources and have put millions and millions of different items on the marketplace without alerting the consumers so they can make a choice.
Fighting the good fight can be pretty lucrative. According to a public database posted online by the California Attorney General's office, Chandler's firm has collected millions of dollars working on Prop 65 cases over the years. His clients, like Whitney Lehman, can make hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is red meat to critics of Prop 65.
Clearly, they've set up a cottage industry.
John Kupal heads the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association.
You have a law that has essentially been rendered meaningless, but except for those who are able to engage the judicial process to make themselves a very good living.
I wanted to learn more about who some of these people are and what motivates them. I started with Whitney Lehman, who sent the letter to Betty's Diner 7 years ago. According to the state database, Lehman's filed 232 notices since 2004. She's gone after phthalates in greeting cards, carcinogens in grilled hamburgers, and lead in eyeshadow. This work has netted her somewhere in the neighborhood of $350,000. Lehman also works for the California Air Resources Board, a state agency that regulates air quality. This doesn't sit well with John Kupal.
She's out there, on the one hand, working for the regulatory agency and also pursuing a personal agenda. So it does strike me as presenting a pretty clear conflict of interest.
Lehman declined to be interviewed, but in response to our questions, her lawyer, Chandler, sent an email with what he called Lehman's thoughts, quote, as interpreted and conveyed by me. This email said there's no conflict of interest that Lehman's aware of. She does her Prop 65 work outside office hours, and the work hasn't involved air quality issues. I tried to speak to another of Chandler's clients, Russell Brimer. According to the state database, Brimer sent out more than 1,000 notices since 2004 and earned at least $600,000 in that time. Chandler said Brimer didn't want to be interviewed, but he did put me in touch with another of his clients, Anthony Held, who has a PhD in environmental engineering from UC Davis.
My motivation in this field is to identify and reduce the source of environmental pollutants and the harm that can come from them.
Held has filed 720 cases and, according to the database, earned about $500,000. He says he's proud of the work he's done.
As to whether people would indicate that there's ulterior motives, I think that could be said of any profession.
In other words, what's wrong with making money off of good work?
It's possibly a very efficient form of enforcement.
That's Stanford Law School's David Engstrom. He says there are two ways a law like Prop 65 could have been written. One, you have government prosecutors enforce it. But often, he says, they drop the ball.
Government regulators will be too lax. Public prosecutors will be unwilling to bring cases that it would be good for society to have brought.
So then there's option number two. You put it into the private sector, into the hands of people like Russell Brimer and lawyers like Cliff Chandler. But Engstrom says there's a risk here, too. Too many suits, including some that may not be in the public interest.
In a sense, just throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping something will stick.
This summer in Sacramento, lawmakers say they're looking for a happy medium. One bill, AB 227, would give certain businesses, including restaurants, a 14-day grace period to put up a sign and avoid big fines. That would mean less money for private enforcers. Another proposal from Governor Jerry Brown would cap attorneys' fees to make Prop 65 less lucrative for lawyers. The goal thereafter? That elusive Goldilocks mix. Not too much enforcement, not too little, but just about right. I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Wincote Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.